Chapter 6.
Nans wants me to cater a memorial service for Nunzio Bartoli at the retirement center tomorrow. Lexi straightened up from filling the pastry case in the front of the cup and cake and turned to face Cassie, who was just coming out of the doorway to the kitchen with a tray of fresh, steaming turnovers.
That sounds like a nice idea. You don't want to do it?
Well, you know Nans. She's only doing it so she can pump the relatives for information to figure out who the killer is.
Cool.
She can have them gathered in one place and then blurt out the name of the murderer, like Columbo. Lexi narrowed her eyes, picturing Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen in beige trench coats with cigars. She noticed Cassie's eyes light up a second before she heard the bell over the door and quickly turned to see who it was. John Darling stood in the doorway. Of course, she could have guessed who it was, judging by the look on Cassie's face. What she never would have guessed, he'd have a linebacker with him. At least that's what the guy standing beside him looked like. He stood about 6.5 feet tall and looked almost 3 feet wide. Lexi could tell from where she stood that he was solid muscle. His expensive-looking dark blue suit must have been custom-made. She didn't think you could get tree-trunk-sized arms like that on suits off the rack.
"Hi, honey," Cassie bubbled.
"Hi."
John smiled at Cassie and then turned to Lexi.
"Hi, Lexi." "Lexi?"
"What? Oh, hi." Lexi's cheeks burned. She'd been too busy staring at the other guy to pay attention to John's greeting.
"This is Braxton Daniels from the FBI. He's in town working on a case with us."
John gestured to the giant beside him, then continued,
"This is my wife, Cassie, and this is Lexi." "Please, call me Brax."
The linebacker stuck out a beefy but well-manicured hand, and Lexi watched hers disappear inside it. She looked up into his face. Square jaw, green eyes, smile like a toothpaste model. She murmured a greeting, and her stomach did a flip when his gaze traveled from her eyes to her mouth and down the rest of her body, then came to rest on her engagement ring. Right. She was engaged. No harm in looking, though. Lexi withdrew her hand and did her best to send out not available vibes.
"So, what kind of case are you working on?" Cassie asked.
"Organized crime, but nothing for you ladies to worry about."
Brax tore his gaze from Lexi and looked at Cassie.
"Organized crime? Does that have anything to do with Nunzio Bartoli?"
Lexi's radar immediately perked up. Brax raised an eyebrow at her.
"Why would you say that? Do you know something?"
"Well, no. It's just that he was just murdered, and there were rumors about him being connected to organized crime, so..." Lexi let her voice trail off.
"You made the connection,"
Brax filled in for her, turning up the wattage on his smile.
"So, I guess there's more than just a pretty face under that apron."
Lexi felt her cheeks grow warm and busied herself by taking the turnovers from Cassie and arranging them in the pastry case.
"So, you think he was rubbed out by gangsters or something?" Cassie asked.
John and Brax both laughed.
"Well, it's something we are looking into,"
John said, then lowered his voice even though no one else was in the bakery to overhear them.
"His family isn't above suspicion either. We are looking at them very closely. In fact, Jack..."
John stopped talking abruptly, and Lexi jerked her head in his direction. "Jack what?"
"I really shouldn't say. It's part of the case. He's just keeping the family under surveillance. He's going to be very busy with that."
"Oh, okay." Lexi narrowed her eyes at John, her stomach sinking. It was more than just surveillance, she could tell. What was it that John had stopped himself from saying? Brax cleared his throat and Lexi looked over at him.
"John tells me you have the best cinnamon buns in the area. I think I'll take that one on top."
he said, pointing to a gooey cinnamon bun that sat at the very top of the tray.
I'll take one, too,
John said as he walked over toward the self-serve coffee station by the window.
How do you take your coffee?
He called back to Brax.
Black.
Brax pulled his wallet out of the inside pocket of his jacket and paid for the order. Lexi put the pastries in a white bag, which she handed across the counter to him. She noticed he made certain their fingers brushed as she handed off the bag. She pulled her hand back quickly, afraid of the tingles that resulted from his touch.
We gotta run,
John said, then looked at Cassie.
See you tonight.
They walked toward the door. When they got there, Brax turned and looked back at them.
Nice meeting you both,
he said, then aimed his gaze at Lexi.
I hope I'll see you again soon.
Then he followed John out, shutting the door behind him.
Wow. Did you get a look at him? Cassie asked.
Yeah. How could I miss him? Cassie sighed.
Boy, if I wasn't married, I'd be wanting to get to know him better.
Lexi laughed. She had to admit, Braxton Daniels was attractive. If she wasn't engaged to Jack, she'd have been looking a lot closer herself. But in her rule book, engaged people didn't look around on the side. Her mind conjured up images of Jack and his blonde ex-girlfriend across the street from the day before. She just hoped he was playing by the same rule book. Lexi had her head and shoulders inside the bakery case, stacking a plate of cannoli that she and Cassie had just finished stuffing with rich ricotta cheese filling, when the door opened and Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen marched into the bakery. She smiled out at them from inside the case, finished her stacking, then unfolded herself from the awkward position and stood up.
We thought we would come and pick out what we want to serve at the memorial. It's all set for 2 p.m. tomorrow in the sunset room at the retirement center.
Nan stared into the case. Her keen eyes scanned the pastries to see what would be most suitable for the occasion. How many do you think will attend? Lexi asked. She could better gauge how many items to bring once she knew how many people would be there.
Oh, I'd say about 40 or 50 people, right, Ruth?
Nance turned to look at Ruth, who nodded solemnly. Then I suggest we do 5 trays loaded with cookies and bars. I can cut the bars into bite-sized pieces so people can sample several of them.
That sounds perfect. We'll take some lemon squares, chocolate brownies, blonde brownies, hermits, chocolate chip cookies, oatmeal raisin, and snickerdoodles,
Nan said, pointing to indicate each of her choices.
And we'll have some samples to eat here with our coffees.
Lexi cocked an eyebrow at her.
Of everything?
Nance giggled.
No, just a couple of the brownies cut up will be fine.
The four women turned and settled themselves into a cafe table by the window, while Lexi cut up the brownies which she brought to the table, along with 4 ceramic coffee mugs.
He ever mention any place where he might keep something important?
Lexi heard Nance ask Ruth as she put the brownies and mugs down in front of them. Ruth scrunched up her face.
Not that I can recall. We didn't talk about stuff like that.
What did you talk about?
Ida giggled, and Ruth blushed. Do you all want coffee? Lexi asked them.
Oh, we can get our own. You don't need to wait on us,
Helen said, grabbing a mug and going over to the self-serve station. Lexi grabbed a seat, pulling it up to the table. She had been lucky to get this storefront in the old mill for her bakery. The floor-to-ceiling picture window was the perfect place to situate her cafe tables, since it had a spectacular view of the waterfall the town was named for. Looking out now, she marveled in the beauty of the water rushing over the falls and the river flanked by shrubs and trees in full bloom. It was no wonder her customers liked to linger at the tables. If you were the killer, where would you look? Nance addressed the table from her spot in front of the coffee carafe. The other four looked thoughtful. Ida picked a tea bag from the basket on the table and got up to put water in her mug. Helen looked down at her already steaming coffee and shrugged.
Do you think he could have hidden it in one of the retirement center common areas?
Ruth and Nan sat back down with steaming mugs of coffee. The smell of dark roast permeated Lexi's nostrils, and she got up to pour herself a cup.
Ruth tapped her index finger on her bottom lip thoughtfully.
You know, it would be helpful if we knew how big the thing was.
Nance nodded.
What could possibly be important enough for someone to murder Nunzio over?
Well, that's easy,
Ida said, bobbing her tea bag up and down in the water.
It's either got to do with money, or he had something on someone.
Lexi leaned against the self-serve station, the mug of coffee warming her hands. She really shouldn't even be listening to this. She was afraid that if she listened, she would get sucked into investigating with them. Plus, the less she knew, the easier it would be to convince Jack that she wasn't investigating it. Nance covered Ruth's hand with her own.
Think hard. Are you sure Nunzio never mentioned anything he was hiding?
Ruth pursed her lips together.
I don't think so.
Or gave you something to hide for him?
Helen ventured. Ruth shook her head.
No, I'd remember that.
Wait, Ida said. I'm sure he wouldn't come right out and say that he was giving you some important thing to hide, especially one that was worth killing over. He might have hidden it at your place when you weren't looking, or given you something that you don't realize is important.
Ruth sipped her coffee while she thought about it.
Really, we weren't that close. Maybe he had another girlfriend he gave it to. The only thing he ever gave me was this locket.
Ruth grabbed a chain that hung from her neck and pulled out a giant heart-shaped locket she'd been wearing under her shirt. The other women looked at it and murmured about how pretty it was, even though Lexi thought it was a bit gaudy herself.
What's inside it?
Ida asked.
Inside? Ruth furrowed her brow. I never thought to look inside.
She wedged her thumbnail in between the two sides, and the locket popped open, revealing a small key.
Oh, how cute. The key to his heart, Ida said.
Nance leaned over the table to get a better look.
Cute my patootie, she said. That key isn't a piece of jewelry. It's a real key. And I bet it opens the lock to whatever Nunzio was hiding.